I can't think of a better guest to have on Teach Us Tuesday, where listeners get to teach us different things than our friend Joey Vitale. We head to the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line and bring in Joey. Joey, first of all, the Chuck stuff was great, but congratulations to the proud papa of number four, man. We're pumped up for you.
Yeah, number four boys, and we keep on rolling. I can't wait to work on number five. My wife's eyes got a little bit big when I asked that in the delivery room. But you know what? I found out one thing. There's never a good time to tell your wife you want to have another baby. But anyway, mom and baby are home now, and everyone is just doing fantastic. Everyone at MoBap did just a top-notch job. And it was a crazy week, but a good one as well.
Joey, are you looking to have like a reality show or something? Do you want it like Joey's Dozen and Counting, or what are you trying to do here?
I'm just doing what Italians do, BT. I'm just doing what we do. We go to mass, we eat a lot of pasta, we drink some red wine, and we just make a lot of kids. And this is something that I experienced from my parents. I just kind of threw up my mouth a little bit talking about that, seeing my parents. But in general, yeah. You know, this is just what we do. But no, I have such a great time with my little ones. I love kids. I love making as many. I love the process of making them. I love everything about it. It's all good, man.
It's great.
I mean, who doesn't?
The process is great, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about the process. But process, you know?
Joey, you are halfway to the reality show right now. You only need four more.
Don't tell my wife that.
All right. So what was going on up in that booth last night?
In what regards? A lot happened in that booth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was the Chuck conversation. What did I miss? I mean, I missed the Chuck conversation. What else?
You missed a semi-boring hockey game when the Blues played a team in the Eastern Conference that was probably equally as boring, a very tired team from the St. Louis Blues. So Kerber and I were trying to keep it as entertaining as possible, not only for the listeners, but for each other. Because is that what you guys know? You guys cover games. There's some games that are very exciting. Look, a couple games ago in Chicago, Central Division rival in Chicago, a record on the line as far as can you sweep the Chicago Blackhawks for the first time in franchise history. I mean, a lot happening. Physicality, great fight by Vince Dunn. And then the next night, it's just the way hockey goes sometimes. You got a very tired Blues team that is in a stretch of hockey of playing road games that has just been insane. These players have got to be exhausted. You're playing the Florida Panthers that, for better or for worse, no disrespect to the Florida Panthers, just there's not a lot of intensity with those games, especially you got a team down in Florida that's coming to St. Louis for the first time. So, you know what? We try to keep it entertaining. We get bored at times up in the booth, and our minds start to kind of wander.
Three games in four nights for the Blues, and now they're going to be in a stretch where they are playing for the next 2 weeks literally every other day. So it'll be day off, game on, day off, game on, and so on. And that's going to go on for a couple of weeks all through the 21st. At this point of a season, for a team that played as much hockey as they played last year, how good a shape are they in relative to everybody else?
You know, I think they're in good shape in the sense that this is a head coach here who understands everything about managing energy. And this is something he talks about a lot, managing energy. He talked about it last night before the game. How are you going to maximize everyone's energy? Best way to put it is he doesn't manage energy necessarily tactically during a game. When it's puck drop time, it's go time. No excuses. I put you out there, we're going to give it 110 no matter what. But the energy conservation for this coach really comes in. I'm starting to see it more and more with him on days off, even practice games. Maybe instead of reporting to the rink, he tells the guys, just stay at the hotel. Maybe you come to the rink, you think you're getting ready for practice, you'll see it written on the board, optional. He'll actually put certain numbers of players on the board who are mandatory to stay off of the ice. So give me an example. Ryan O'Reilly is someone, when he sees the word optional practice, no matter what, that basically means mandatory for him. He always is working on something. But now Craig Berube, as we've seen Ryan O'Reilly take a couple optionals, he's actually said that he's actually told Ryan to purposely stay off the ice. So understanding his players, having a close relationship with them, managing them as people before players is something that has really come up. And this is why these players are starting to get a lot more rest on these days off, practice days. You mentioned the every other. Braden Chen, for example, he loves the schedule. You play, you're off. You play, you're off. It's like the playoffs. And especially when you have a coach that is not as mandatory or disciplined as far as making players skate every practice, it is kind of nice because you show up to the rink one day and you play a game. The next day you kind of take off. You show up to the following day and you play a game again. It's just back and forth, and actually goes by a lot quicker than a lot of people realize. So as far as an energy standpoint, the Blues, the players, the coaches, you ask any of them, it is never an excuse. It will never be an excuse. I don't care how bad and rigorous the schedule can be. It's just an identity makeup of this team. There's just not a team that looks at the schedule or any kind of situation and makes excuses for not having enough energy. They will have plenty of it.
Well, and Joey, this has been a talking point throughout the season, certainly with different injuries that have popped up. But the Blues are fortunate enough to have a lot of depth and a lot of high-end depth and a lot of guys that are probably hungry for more and more minutes. I mean, how important is that when you look at the schedule that you mentioned and this time of year with all the hockeys behind you? I'd have to believe that having a group of guys that Craig Berube trusts in, that helps out when you go through these times of potentially low energy for some individuals.
Well, I think you got to look at how this team was built and built under Doug Armstrong. And that, to me, is why the depth is so effective, because you're not looking at a top line of three players that make up, let's say, $30 million, and there's a huge drop-off from there. Look at the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, it was an incredible story a couple years ago when they were a new franchise. They get the expansion draft, so they can kind of pick and choose different players from every team, maybe one here, one there, one there. But obviously, with other teams protecting players, they protected their best assets. So what kind of opened up? Those second, third-line players. Vegas goes out, and they got a team full of second and third-line decent forwards. Not superstars, just really decent forwards. Of course, the first year they go to the Stanley Cup Final, they got snubbed last year. The Blues should have played them in the Western Conference Final last year. So, and I bring that up because this is kind of how the Blues team has built. And, of course, we weren't an expansion team last year or 2 years ago. But Doug Armstrong kind of has the same mindset, where we're not going to build our team from a $10 million winger, a $9 million center, a $7 million winger, and then we'll just see what else we have from there, like the Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And you can see why Edmonton hasn't been very successful. Doug Armstrong wants to build this team from a lot of very good, decent, strong, two-way, you know, A and maybe B and C players. And no disrespect, but we got Vladimir Tarasenko and Ryan O'Reilly. These are some really good superstars, but they don't really jump off the page as being like the Alex Ovechkins, the Sidney Crosby, the Connor McDavid. Now, when you have a team built around those second, third prototype of players that can play a 200-foot game, that's where the depth can really play a huge role, and this is when you can run four lines. The other aspect is very important to managing energy and running four lines. We talk about a lot in hockey, but it's going to be puck management. And this is something the Blues do very efficiently. If you don't manage a puck well, if you don't get the pucks out of the blue lines, if you don't dump it in at the right moment of the time, then you start getting tired. Then you start taking penalties, and then you start chasing games. I mean, it's little things like that, and it always comes back to how well a team can manage that puck in the crucial times of the games. The Blues do it very well, and that allows them to, instead of maybe chasing the game a lot, they're actually protecting the lead, so you can throw your third line out there. You can throw your fourth line out there. You can give Ryan O'Reilly a little break. You can give Braden Schenn a breather. So when you do that and you manage the puck as well as the Blues do, that's where you can allow the depth to really be effective, especially when you're trying to manage energy.
It's almost a month before the playoffs are to begin, so there's still a considerable amount of time before that. But if things came to an end right now with the Blues leading the division, they would play Minnesota in the first round. Colorado and Dallas would play each other in the first round. And to me, that would be awesome, because that means one of those two teams goes away and the Blues don't have to worry about facing them. But they're not the only good teams in the Western Conference. If they don't win the division, how much, in your opinion, how much lesser are their playoff chances of making a deep run?
Well, I think it's really important, and the players would never admit this, but, you know, being pretty recent from the game, you can't help but recognize that the Dallas Stars and the Colorado Avalanche are right behind you. And whoever falls into that second spot between you and Colorado will probably have to face the Dallas Stars. And I say that because it doesn't look like Dallas is obviously going to win the division. They're a little far back from that. So they're going to either fall in that third role. So then you look at, okay, so then who would the first seed play? The Winnipeg Jets. Can the Winnipeg Jets at this point, or the Minnesota Wild, as you mentioned, could they catch the Dallas Stars and take over that third seed? Well, I don't think so, because Dallas actually has games in hand and they are some points ahead. So let's assume that right now, as you just said, BT, that the playoffs were now. I do believe Dallas is going to finish in that third spot. So really, it's just a race between the Colorado Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues, who will take that number one seed. I think this is really important. I think it's extremely crucial for a couple reasons, because the Dallas Stars, obviously, they have very short memories, and they remember what happened last year. And I feel like that there would be some extra just animosity and just physicality and just some giddy up from the Dallas Stars if the Blues were to fall into that second spot and have to deal with the Dallas Stars. I'm not saying they're going to lose the series, but I think it will take a much bigger toll from a physical standpoint if you have to go to the Stars in the first round compared to, let's say, if they finish in first, have to go to the Minnesota Wild or Winnipeg Jets. Now, the other aspect of this is, too, let's assume that Blues finish either first or second. They get through the first round, and so does Colorado. Well, if Colorado ends up finishing in that number one seed and the Blues finish in number two, they both get to the first round. Let's say they clash in the second round or even the third round. That number one seed can be important if you're facing the Colorado Avalanche, because home ice advantage, I think, is going to be a really important aspect of this matchup in the playoffs. You're dealing with Colorado. You're dealing with altitude. It is a factor when teams go play in Colorado, the Mile High City. You cannot extend your shifts as much as you like, and this is something a lot of players in the Blues team love to do. Ryan O'Reilly likes to stick out there 50, 55 seconds at times. You really can't let that get away from you when you're playing in Colorado. The Blues have not been very successful in the Pepsi Center this year, and the altitude, of course, being one of those reasons. The Colorado Avalanche played very well at home. So that is another aspect of finishing first in the division that is very evident and something the Blues have been motivated to try to finish in first, because if and when you do face the Colorado Avalanche in the postseason, you're going to want to open this thing up here at the Enterprise Center.
Joey, you're the best, man. Congratulations again on number four. Good luck on working on number five. And we'll talk to you again soon, my man. Thank you.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it anytime.
That is Joey Vitale. Joey's the best, man. Joey's five, the perfect guy to have on Teach Us Something
really
Tuesday.
Is.
We should make him send us a mic drop later, because I bet he's got some good knowledge for us.
Dude, five seems like an incredible amount of
work. I
got
two. That's enough. I feel like it's enough.
Five.
One of each. Life is good.
Whew.
Life is good. I don't need any more.
Good.
Hey, they need more. They need more offense. They need more gold glovers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy.
Yeah?
He's in Colorado.
Yeah?
Greg Amsinger. We talked to him last week.
He's
said,
in Colorado?
He said, we're going to get... No, not Greg. I think Greg's in New York.
Okay.
But Greg said, the Cardinals are probably going to get that guy.
Ooh.
Somebody else says, not so fast. That's next on 101 ESPN.